fill it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hey.
Woo! Dry bones are coming to life again. Easton. Phillipsburg. Bethlehem. Allentown. Nazareth. Woo! Yeah. The whole thing. Wow. Glory. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Psalm 8 says this, Lord, your name is so great and powerful. People everywhere see your splendor. Your glorious majesty streams from the heavens, filling the earth with the fame of your name. That name is going to be all over in the air. Ooh, you have built a stronghold by the songs of babies. Strength rises up with the chorus of singing children. This kind of praise has the power to shut Satan's mouth. Childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. Ooh, I love that. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Lord. Well, it's so good to see everybody here today. Glory and honor and praise to all of you. And I don't see any first-time visitors here, but that's okay. They're coming. It was prophesied, and we don't go by what we see. Amen? Amen. All right. And this is Psalm 103, and we're going to receive our tithes and offerings right now. So if you need an envelope, raise your hand, and Carla and Trish, if she can. Okay, we'll give you an envelope. If you like to give through a credit or debit card, just turn around and see Alan back at the desk. Glory. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget none of his benefits. That means don't forget his benefits. Don't forget him. Okay? So this is his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, all your sins. They're forgiven. They're under the blood. Who heals all our diseases. All is what? All. Not one left out. Everything. All is all. Who redeems, I like this part, redeems our life from the pit. We're out of the pits. We're going to higher levels. Who crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Who satisfies our years with good things. Good things, not bad things. And this part I really like. So that our youth is renewed like the eagle. We're becoming youthful. We're on fire. Something really strange happened at prayer on Tuesday. I was praying over Isabel, and I was leaning like this, praying over her. And I get up, and all of a sudden, I felt like, honest to God, the sensation from the bottom of my feet all the way up, I felt like I grew. It felt like an elevator, and I felt like I grew. So I went home, and I measured myself, and I didn't grow. But the Lord said, yes, I didn't think of that till this morning. He's elevating me to higher level. So whatever he's doing with me, he's doing it with you guys too. Does everybody feel shifts going on inside of you? Does everything seem new? New. New things. Garbage. Wow. New things are happening. Expect. Brad, won't you come up? Brad's got an awesome testimony. Yay. All right, Brad.
Well, what I thought was interesting was the worship was about bones a lot, right? Yeah. So anyhow, my ribs are all twisted up. My sternum's broke. This has been like this for years. No big deal. About 4 months ago, 5 months ago, I started having a lot of pain here. And it started to feel like something was like growing. It was just weird, but I kept, you know, praying over it. And during praise and worship last Sunday, I was sitting down and I went like this. And went, well, it's completely gone. Completely gone. No more pain. So I don't know what my ribs are like now or not, but there's no more pain. There's no growth there. I can feel it. There's nothing there anymore. So, and here's something I wanted to, this is going to ring for somebody anyway. So I met Barry and Karen when I was in my late teens. And it was in my early 20s when they started getting into Fred Price. Remember Fred Price? So they gave me a tape, a cassette tape of Fred where he had a tumor under his arm. And he started telling it to go away, basically. And I think it was close to 9 months. And he said he'd go into the shower, it would get worse and worse and worse. And all of a sudden, one day, he put his arm under his hand under his arm, and the tumor was gone. And that's when I first learned about faith. And it was because of you guys. So thank you. So there you go.
Yeah, Brad's an old friend. He used to babysit Eric and Jamie.
I didn't know it was Brad.
Yeah. No, I'm the one who's old, Jim. He's still young. Scott, you got a testimony or something? No, you're in the middle.
All right.
Oh, okay. All right. That's okay. I'm excited today, as you could see. There's a lot of excitement going on. Oh, he used to have a band called Dry Bones. Dry Bones. Did they come back to life again? Da-da-da-da. Okay. Well, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to lift up all those that need healing today. We're going to speak to all the nursing homes and all the hospitals today and all the people that are locked up. They're locked in their bodies, and it's horrible to see that. So, Father, we lift those people up to you right now, Lord, that need a touch of healing to be completely restored in their bodies, Lord. We speak like, rattle their bones, rattle that disease right out of their bodies. Heal them from the top of their heads to the very soles of their feet. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for healing people all over this area, Lord. I thank you for an increase of healing going on. I thank you, Lord, when your presence is upon us, Lord, anything can happen. So, Lord, we just thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we lift and pray over these tithes and offerings right now, Lord. And, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for new and open doors of great opportunity for people to receive money, to invest in things that God is behind it. And, Lord, we thank you for the financial increase that is coming. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for debt cancellations, too, forgiveness of debts. Lord, we thank you. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's 50. That's Jubilee, and that means we're free. Free of anything that binds us up. We break all chains now in every area of our life, now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Blessings. Annette? That's Annette again.
I just want to share this. Last week I was telling someone how when I first came, I had a death spirit, and some of you have probably heard that before, and I had walked with it for years. As a matter of fact, I'd had it since I was like 11 years old, because I had went to a funeral, and my aunt had passed away, and for some reason, that thing jumped on me, and I walked it all the way till I met Barry and Karen. And it's like every 3 months, every 4 months, the voices would start telling me about how I was going to die and this and that and this and that. But it was in the church under this name down the hill that God delivered me, and he set me free from that spirit. And I know that I'm not the only one. I know that I'm not the only one that wrestles with that, you know, that used to wrestle with that spirit. And if there's some of you that the enemy is telling you that you're not going to make it, you're going to die, this is it, forget it, it's not true. Amen. You give that thing back to him, back to the devil, and lift yourself up before God. And his name was Nick. And I was set free from that day to the Nick Gula. And I was set free from that day to this. Every once in a while it would come back, but it's gone.
Amen. Actually, Nick Gula is supposed to be visiting us next week, right, Eric? Was it next week? Yeah, Nick and Sonny are coming back to visit their families, and he wants to come and see us. And yeah, we go back with some. Eric met Nick unknowingly in kindergarten. In Bridgewater Assembly of God School. So it was weird because they didn't know it, and they were looking at pictures one day. And there they were, Nick and Eric. And they didn't know until later on when they met again in, I guess it was the 90s. And that's a whole nother story for another time. Yes. You got a testimony? Oh, come on.
Is this a miracle? No, as we were praising the Lord, the Lord gave me Mark 3:11. So I was sitting here waiting, where is this tie in at? And when Annette stood up and said, that demon has been on you since 11 years old, even the demons shudder at the name of Jesus because they know he is the Son of God. And so there we have the Holy Spirit tying in with revelation that comes true to God's word.
Amen, amen. Spirit of death is gone. John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to bring life and bring it more abundantly. Wow. Whew. Okay, next week is Father's Day. So honor your fathers if they're still alive. How many people have fathers that are still living? Oh, okay. Not too many. Okay. But now your fathers and grandfathers and spiritual fathers and grandfathers. Praise the Lord. So anyway, let's see what we have here. Tuesday afternoon at 3, we have our prayer. And anyone that is available, come on out and join us. And we really get some things taken care of in the spirit, and we pray for you guys every week, and we pray for the whole area, and we're believing God there's going to be an awesome revival, and we believe that the refreshing has already started, and it's just going to increase and be inflamed. All our messages are recorded and posted on our website, tfhcf.org. So if you'd like to listen to it again or give it to somebody else, you know, you're welcome to do that. And June 22nd, which is 2 weeks from today, Sunday, Ed Callens will be back with us at 10:30. And then in July 13th, Sunday, Don and Debbie will return. And he'll be doing live worship, and Debbie will be preaching, and of course she ministers to everybody. And she always has a good word for everybody, right? Confirmations, and it's awesome when they're coming. So this is a special day. I love when people in the church rise up and have messages and speak to the body and use their gifts. That really excites me. I guess it's like a mother being excited about their children. So, Mama Karen. So, Steve is going to preach today. Hallelujah! You ready?
No, I'm not ready, but he's ready. He's ready. Now we're going to pull a little tricky on you. Usually when I come up, we do a prophetic class. And I was like, no, let's not do that. But I have a prophetic message. But happy birthday. Today is our birthday of Pentecost. So that's what my message is going to be on. I want to give a little Jewish background on what actually Pentecost is. And then I want to tie it up to what does that mean today. And I'm going to try something new. So pray it goes smooth. We're going to try a little bit of a PowerPoint as we do this. You might get tired of looking at my face, so then you can look at the screen.
Okay.
Why we got him, you know. Oh, thank you. And Paul, and I don't have any jokes today. And just so you know, Paul, we prayed almost a week for your job. Paul did a joke that he lost his job, and we took him serious, and we kept praying for his job. So it didn't hurt that we prayed for your job. And I don't know what you were doing up here, Paul, but you stood right in front of me, and I didn't even notice you going across. And I'm like, what is he, like just gliding across in the spirit? So that blessed me, Paul. You just worshiping in the spirit. Okay, let me pray. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for this day. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Take away my words and my flesh, Father God, and just use me through you. All right, slide two, the origins in Jewish tradition. Hey, it's working. And this, I got a little help. The words are mine, I changed them up, got all my notes, and I'm like, let me do PowerPoint, but I didn't know how to do it. So, I know some people won't like it. I opened up AI and I says, can you do a PowerPoint? And it did it, just like that. But then I got to change a little things, but it gave me my template, it gave me the pictures. So I thank the Lord for technology too. Can you all see that? Okay. Thank you. And I liked how all the worship all tied in today with what we're doing. And Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecosta, which means 50th. Pentecost is celebrated on the seventh Sunday after Easter, which is 50 days. Pentecost isn't an event. When we talk, it sounds like it's an event. The baptism that we're going to go into, it happened on Pentecost. So Pentecost is not an event, but it's actually the timing of the event. Pentecost in the Jewish tradition is called Shavuot. I hope I pronounced it right. It's a significant Jewish holiday that commemorates the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. The Torah is the law of God revealed to Moses and recorded in the first five books of the Old Testament, which we call the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I'm not going to read the scripture, but I'm going to paraphrase what happened at Mount Sinai. Moses is basically up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments and receive the law. And the people got tired of waiting, so they erected a calf, and they began to worship it, a golden calf. Moses then pleads with God, because God's anger wants to wipe them out. So Moses is like pleading for them. So then Moses comes down, and Moses is mad, throws the tablets down, and he says, who's on the Lord's side? Come here. And the Levites did, and he told the Levites to go and wipe them out. So then Moses had 3,000 people killed. And that's going to be something significant in a little bit later. Slide three, connection to the Feast of Weeks. The Shavuot is celebrated during the harvest season, which is the Feast of Weeks. It symbolized the completion of the grain harvest. Harvest is kind of a key. All Jewish males were required to travel to Jerusalem at this time. So there was lots of people coming in. The Feast of Weeks is the second of three solemn feasts, 50 days after the Feast of the First Fruits, Passover. Now the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacle are all three feasts that required all of the males that were Jews to attend, and the three feasts that required first fruit offerings. So whatever you planted, the first thing that came up, you brought to the temple and you offered it. And that's why they were all coming to bring in their first fruits. the Feast of Weeks, it's this one is the offering of the wheat. And the fruit of the tabernacles is the first fruit offering of the olive and grape harvest. That would be the next one. The grain offering for Feast of Weeks consisted, this is pretty interesting, two loaves of leavened bread, which symbolizes sin. Usually you hear of unleavened bread, but it was two loaves of leavened bread, and they had to be the exact same weight. So I believe the two loaves are representative of being saved by grace. We can't do it. And through faith in the part of the two loaves of bread, I believe stands for the foreshadow of what's going to happen on this Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit is now going to be for the Jew and the Gentile too, to become one. All right, slide four. Thank you, Deja, for doing all this. I really appreciate it. The role in the early Christian history. This event at Pentecost is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring is a foundational event in early Christianity. It's basically our heritage is what I'm talking about, is our heritage, where we came from, and this is what we believe. It was the birth of the church. And it was the spread of the gospel, which is the good news of salvation through Christ. The descent of the Holy Spirit empowered the apostles and enabled them to preach and perform miracles. Following the outpouring, the apostles began to spread Christianity throughout the region and lead into its rapid growth. Slide five. And then slide six. All right. This is so you can read as I read. I'm going to go to Acts 2, 1 through 8. And this is the biblical account of what happened during the Pentecost feast. Hope if I get the right one myself. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah, let me tell you that Satan was trying to get me yesterday too, get me sick, and I didn't accept it because I said, you know, just because you go through stuff doesn't mean God's not moving. It might mean he really is moving. So that's just a sideline. All right, on the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place, and they were actually in the temple grounds. It wasn't like they were on the other side of town. They were by the temple. So whatever happened, the priests and the Sadducees and Pharisees heard everything. Yeah. I think that was the point of it. Yes. Suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realms. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. And all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. Kind of makes you think of the pillar of fire that the Israelites were led by. It separated then into tongues of fire, kind of looked like that. And it engulfed each one of them, and they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit. And they were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit, and speak in languages that they've never learned. This exact point of tongues is not what we often talk about. We often talk about the gift of tongues when it comes to prayer. This was where so many people from all over the world that spoke different languages, the disciples all spoke different languages that these people understood. So they were, if you continue to read through Acts, they're like perplexed that they know their language. But later on, when they do go, when you read, don't want to read all of Acts, I want you to study it too. But when they went to the Gentiles, they said they were saved. So this is a different thing than becoming saved through Christ. So Peter would say, have you received the Spirit since you believed? Meaning they didn't. Now when you're born again, the Spirit comes in you. That's different. That's the end of on. So this is what we're talking about. It's an actual event. The Holy Spirit's going to come down and fill you. And this part, they did speak in a heavenly language that was unknown. And just to give a little... it's not always what we think. When I was born again as a child, maybe 9, And I didn't even hear about the baptism until I was a teenager. And then once I heard it, I wanted it so bad. I was like at church like several times a week. And I didn't get it at church. I got it at my job. Oh. Yeah, I'm just sitting there, and I felt this presence come down. And I'm saying this because I want a call today for baptism. If you don't get it, doesn't mean you're not going to get it, okay? So I felt this presence come down. I looked up expecting to see something, but I didn't. And I just got this overwhelming love of everybody in this room was going to hell. And like, I knew it, but now I really knew it. So I guess I couldn't handle it. I got it in stages. So then the Lord did it again 2 weeks later. Spirit came down. Looking up again, nothing's there. I start to cry, go out of the room. And then I'm working on the computer, and I missed the key button, and there's another worker next to me. And I meant to go, but what I did, this language just flew out of my mouth. I didn't know what I was saying, and me and the other guy went, okay, and went back. So I just want you to know, it's not always the textbook way that God pours out. Slide 7. The birth of the Christian church, Pentecost, marks the beginning of the Christian church, symbolizing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. The day signifies the apostles' initiation into their public ministry. What an initiation. They never heard of this, you know, experienced it. We've heard of it. Some of us, even though I got baptized, I need it again and again and again and again. So it doesn't need to be a one-time event. And that's not even in my notes. The event led to the rapid spread of Christianity beyond Jerusalem and into the different regions. Slide 8. So Pentecost marks the day when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, and it fulfilled Jesus' promise, because Jesus told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. And that's back in Acts 1, 4 and 5 and Luke 24. 49, and empower the disciples for their mission, enabling them to spread the teaching of Jesus. It marked a significant turning point, uniting the followers of Christ, the Jew and the Gentile, and strengthening their faith. Now here's the interesting part. There were 3,000 that were saved in that one day. It's kind of interesting that they were celebrating Mount Sinai where 3,000 were lost. So I believe God used that to redeem. And I'm going to come back to this point too. Let's read in Corinthians 3:6. She's so good. Thank you, Lord. He alone makes us adequate ministers who have focused on an entirely new covenant. Our ministry is not based on the letter of the law, but through the power of the Spirit. This is where I think it goes back to Mount Sinai. The letter of the law kills. They wanted the law, but guess what? It killed them. But the Spirit pours out life. And that's what God wanted this to begin with, but we didn't want it. So he gave us what we wanted. We thank you, Lord, for the new covenant. Slide 9. Some of the stuff repeats, but it's good to hear things more than once. Symbolism of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost represents the active presence of the Holy Spirit in the world and the church, marking a significant event. Slide 10. The fulfillment of Jesus' promise, concluding the event. Pentecost is celebrating Christianity as the day when the Holy Spirit was sent to the disciples, who then took it to the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit empowers believers, that's us, to guide and inspire us to continue the work of Jesus and the world. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, often what we call it, you might hear, is we call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what this event was, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It reinforces the ongoing, not the yesterday mission, and it's not for them back then and now it's not. It's an ongoing mission of the church. And what it does is it connects us. This is just something the Lord has given me now. It connects us with everyone we've lost that followed the Lord. They're not just in heaven sitting there having a feast. they're edging us on. Somehow, I don't understand it, but Barry still has a role in this. And I don't quite understand it, but in the baptism, we're all connected. We're all part of the same vine. Just because you're not on earth doesn't mean you're not active into what God's doing. That's a side note. And I don't understand it all myself now, but he's going to be here today. Yes, Jesus and Barry. I love that picture, and I got to take it, so that's a blessing that I see it. You're welcome. Boy, look at that picture. Sometimes it's like 3D. Like, I could see him with that look going, especially looking at his beautiful bride, going, yes, you did it. And you're doing it, Karen. You're leading this along. Karen is, I didn't come up here to puff you up, but I just want to share this. We seen Amanda Grace a few weeks ago, and she told this story. And she has lots of animals. And she woke up middle of the night. I won't get all the details because I'm a guy. So she hits her husband and says, just follow me and go. She knew there was wolves or something coming to take over her flock or whatever they were, some kind of animals. So she ran in the power and just ran into the woods and yelled, you leave in the name of Jesus. And they were like, and they ran. That's what Karen is to hear. You're home. She's not just like, I'll see you next week. She's toiling during the week for us. She's fighting for us. She's protecting us. She's a true shepherd, and I haven't seen many shepherds like that. So thank you, Pastor Karen. Okay, now I'm going to bring it down to today. But we're going to go back a little bit further to bring it today, about a foreshadow of the outpouring of the Spirit. In Acts 2:16, I'm going to read that. This is Peter. He says, this is the fulfillment of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel for God. He's saying this is that. So what happened on, we keep saying what happened on Pentecost. What happened during Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit, was what was prophesied. And I'm going to have a beautiful assistant read another passage for me. I want her to read Ezekiel 37 for us.
I was very tempted to come up and offer to tell that story from Amanda Grace, but I held back. Well, I just thought it was funny because she goes, get up to your husband. I don't have time to talk. Follow me. So I thought that was funny. Kind of gives you a little taste of her personality a little bit. Get out of the way. All right, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, the Valley of Dry Bones. Yahweh's powerful presence was upon me, and his spirit lifted me up and carried me away. He set me down in the middle of a valley that was covered with countless bones. He made me walk all around the valley among all the vast piles of bones. There in the valley there were many, many very dry bones. Yahweh asked me, Son of man, can these bones come back to life again? And I replied, Lord Yahweh, you are the only one who knows. Then he said to me, prophesy over these dry bones these words. Dry bones, hear what Yahweh says. Lord Yahweh says to you, I am now going to breathe into you and you will live again. I will attach muscles and sinews to you. I will make flesh grow on you. I will cover you with skin. I am going to breathe into you and you will live again and you will know that I am Yahweh. The bones come together. So I prophesied as I had been told, and as I was prophesying, I began to hear a commotion. Behold, it was the clattering of these many skeletons coming together, bone to bone. And as I kept watching, muscles and sinews miraculously appeared. Flesh grew on the bones, and then skin wrapped completely around them, yet there was still no life breath in them. Then Yahweh said to me, prophesy to the breath. Yes, prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, Lord Yahweh says, divine breath, come now from the four winds. Breathe on these lifeless bodies so that they can live again. So I prophesied as he had told me, and the breath entered their bodies. They came alive, got up from the ground, and stood to their feet, a very great, immense army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones represent the entire house of Israel. They keep saying, we are as dry as these dead bones. Our nation has been completely destroyed, and we have lost all hope. So prophesy to them, Lord. Yahweh says to you, behold, I am now going to open your graves. My people, I will resurrect you out of your graves and lead you home to the land of Israel. And when I open your graves and raise you up, then, my people, you will be convinced that I am Yahweh, and I will put my Holy Spirit within you, and you will live again. I will resettle you on your own soil. Then you will know that it is I, Yahweh, who spoke to you, and I do what I say. I, Lord Yahweh, have spoken.
Yes, so that's where I'm actually at. I believe we're at the dry bone spot now. And the last couple of months, everything seems to be around the new wine, which all ties to this too. And if you notice, things have changed here. Pastor Karen stepped up and changed some things. And it's part of the new wine and being made new wineskins, which she explained before. But just to refresh you, it doesn't mean you become a new person and everything else is gone. God, when they do the wine thing, they rub the oil in and they make it so that it can handle the new wine. So you might feel like all hell is against you, which it is. But all of heaven is for you. So I know a lot of us have been going through hell lately, but it's for good. Like Dawn beat hell twice. She literally beat hell twice. They tried to take her out, and she's still here. Thank you, Dawn. And we love you, Dawn. We love everybody that's here. Yes. Yes, he's going to give up because he knows that something's up too. And that's when the attacks get heavy, because he knows that God is rattling our bones. And he is scared. He's scared. There's a word that in my head I shouldn't say, but he's scared. So we're doing things a little different, because God is mending our nets. So what we're doing is we want to bring people in. So if we throw our nets out and we didn't mend them, the fish are just going to fall through the net. So the changes you see are going on is the new nets going out to bring the new fish in. It's all about the harvest. Pentecost is harvest. And there's a new harvest coming. So the word the Lord gave me today, because I wanted it something fresh, and it's an old song we sang as kids, deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. So God is taking us deeper, and as he takes us deeper, he's making our influence wider, and it's our nets are getting made wider. That's it for the message, but we're going to do another worship song, and then after that, I like Karen could release you. But after the song, we're going to have a prayer time, and I'm going to just put them all out here, so after the song, you can come up, and I don't want to put anybody on the spot, so these ideas the Lord put in my head, these all come up at once. The first one is, you can't get any of this if you've never accepted Christ. So we just thank you, Lord, for you moving on hearts. So if you've never received Christ, after the worship song, come on up. We'll pray with you. And even if you're walking up, you're already saved. So if you got struck by lightning on the way up, you're going to heaven. It's not that you have to say a prayer. It just helps us to say the prayer. It's the decision in your heart. So I want to call for that. I want to call for if you've walked away from God and you just want to tell him you want to come back. Third one is if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, we're going to put that out there. And if you do speak in tongues and you want more, you just want more, come up. And the last thing is anything I missed, a healing or anything. We don't want anybody to walk out of this place not changed. And you come up. So let's just do the worship song and then come up for prayer.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
God, breathe on me, breath of God. speak to me, Word of God, speak to me.
Anybody needs prayer, come on up. Don't be shy. Come on. Whatever it is, could be anything. Glory to God. More Lord. More Lord. Eric, you want to play something, please? Thank you. Come alive, come alive, come alive. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand.
Put Josiah in the line.
From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.